pray about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Then looking in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2, picking up at verse 13. Now when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then skipping down to verse 19. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Portions of Matthew chapters 1 and 2. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful and the powerful and the beautiful Christmas narratives that make up the entire Christmas story, basically Matthew 1 and 2, Luke 1 and 2. Father, more and more we continue to encourage all of our listeners, and I pray that you'd stir them to take time, to make time to read through all the Christmas narratives, not just once or twice, but many times throughout the Christmas season, and draw on the grace, the encouragement, and the insight that we can as we take the time to read all the way through them. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the beauty of your word. And even the Christmas story, though we see sometimes the ugly and difficult sides of life, thank you for the fact that you're bigger than all the problems, all the challenges. Thank you for the example of Joseph, a godly man that honored you. And when he heard from you as you stepped in his dreams four times and spoke to him, every time he heard from you and you spoke your word to him, he obeyed. Help us to learn from his wonderful example. Help us to be a people that live a lifestyle of obedience, a lifestyle of listening and obeying. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for how Jesus is present with us now. And Father, thank you so much for how you can guide us through each and every moment. Father, we want to take a few moments just to meditate and remember the journey that Jesus went on, that the journey that his parents went on, and the trials that they faced, and how you guided them through for your purposes. Thank you so much for all the life that you bring and for all the plans that you have. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're honored to have with us in studio today, Jerry and Becky Drace. You may recall their names and You will probably hear their voices from time to time on the network as they do spots that have to do with ministry or ministries that they're involved with. But we're honored to have them in studio today. Jerry and Becky, good to have you all with us today.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
A privilege to have you on. And I'm going to invite you to further introduce yourselves in any way you wish to. And then we want to jump right in and let you share. Sister Becky, you've written a book entitled The Bright Side of Blue, Finding Hope in Dark Places, in the Dark Places of Life. So would you all take a few moments to further introduce yourself, and then we're going to dive in and talk about the message and the insights from your book.
Well, just one comment on what you have already introduced. You know, in studying the Christmas story, because I've done several different opportunities over the season already, and studying the Christmas story, you realize that, folks, there were over 300 prophecies regarding the coming of the Messiah. There were 7 specific prophecies regarding the birth of our Lord Jesus. And so I think that's monumental because it gives credibility to the Christmas story for Jesus. But the prophecies, you know, those were written, Isaiah wrote that 700 years before Jesus was born. And so it's important. And I want to just pray right now over your listeners as they listen to the word and as they challenge them to study the word. So can I just pray for a moment?
Please do.
Father God, we love you and we thank you that you have given us a precious gift of the written word, that every single spectrum of the word, every single item, every single word is important to who we are in you, Jesus, and your life and your birth and your death and your resurrection and every aspect of pre-scripture that led up to the prophecies teaching us, Lord, give credibility to the power of your word. And so I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this program. And I just pray as we discuss your word today, Lord, that you will instill in our hearts the necessity of putting that as a priority, daily study of your word, Jesus. And we thank you in your name.
Amen. Amen. And Brother Jerry, would you specifically pray also just for our listeners to receive everything the Lord wants to say to them and receive, for them to receive through the broadcast today?
Absolutely. Father, we pray for open hearts and open minds. We know, Lord, that oftentimes we can hear without really listening. And I pray for that we'll listen always to that still, small voice, to your voice, Father. And I pray for every listener. That's what is so unique about radio. We have no idea who's listening, but you do. So I ask that you open their minds and their hearts to hear the truth, and only the truth, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And also, if someone wants to get in touch with you all and learn more about your ministry, can you all tell them how they can do that?
Absolutely. You can go to hopeforthehome@juno.com. That's our email address, hopeforthehome@juno.com, or go to our website at hopeforthehome.org. You asked, though, about a personal story. I became a believer when I was 9 years old. I was raised in a Christian home, attended a believing church, but I did not become a committed Christian until I was 16. And I made a personal commitment, 100% commitment. I've never looked back since then. Have I had ups and downs? Yes, I have. But my eternal destiny was sealed when I was 9. But the path along the way has taken interesting paths. And, you know, when you read the story of Jesus, Jesus knew he was omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He knew his future, but he was living with earthly people who did not necessarily know all the pathway that it was going to lead. But I liked what you said about Joseph being obedient and faithful, but Mary was too. And so that was the most important part for me as an earthly person, is being obedient and faithful and always being available to follow God's path. I think that's important. For me at 16, that revolutionized my life. I had to give up friends. I had to change direction in my life. I had to begin to learn the importance of the word in my life and how my personal example of faith would impact people. I have friends today that I've known since high school that knew me then that know me now. And I want the person that I am now to be totally different from maybe what they saw in me when I was younger. So that's my backstory.
Amen. Amen. Well, tell us about, again, the message and the mission behind the book, The Bright Side of Blue, Finding Hope in the Dark Places of Life.
Yes, and I feel like personally in having studied and researched and been in counseling ministry with Jerry and working with Hope for the Home all these years, we've heard so many stories. And like I said, we all have an eternal journey, but the path along can take us into some interesting mountains and valleys and peaks and twists and turns in life. And some of them can take you into the deep challenges. And so my book, to me, the purpose of my book, it was born out of my own personal challenge, emptying out the nest first and then my cancer experience second. And so out of those two experiences, the Lord took me back to the Word, which is where we were. 1 Samuel, first chapter, the story of Hannah and her experience with depression. And yes, she was depressed. But then how she recovered from that and the process is in the book, the process and the steps of how you dip down and how you recover from and how everything is focused on Jesus. There are 10 different stories, not including mine, in the book because mine was born out of my study, but then it morphed into other challenges of life. And so what I did, I invited other people to write their stories and implemented them into the book. And every one of them is interesting. When they came back after writing their stories, every one of them went back to one source, mm-hmm. and that's how to recover through Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's the goal, hope and encouragement.
All right. So am I correct then that so like in your particular, on your particular journey, you were dealing with getting through an illness, but you're saying some of the other stories aren't necessarily illness, but there are other major challenges that people face.
Absolutely. My first experience, though, was emptying the nest because I thought my mission in life was over because I'd invested. Our home was our mission outpost, and I had spent so much time and energy with the children, their friends, and you know, and ministry through that area. And then once our daughter graduated from high school, I thought, oh, well, it's over now. And so the Lord very quickly showed me, no, your life isn't over. You're just going to shift some gears. And we did. I began to mentor other young women. And so out of that came that. But then the second time, 10 years later, 20 years later, was my cancer experience. And out of that then, I realized that there are other, my publisher said, hey, this is great. You know, your story is wonderful, but there's other challenges in life. And mm-hmm. so I began, one of the most poignant ones for me is a young African-American lady that I met by accident. Our daughter was a recruiter for a national company and had contacted this lady about a job, which didn't pan out. But in the conversation, the lady said, I've been diagnosed with uterine cancer. And my daughter said, my mom's been recently diagnosed with cancer. Would you like for her to contact you? And the young lady said yes. And so I contacted her, and her story is in the book. She mm-hmm. was here, didn't have any family, was diagnosed. They wouldn't give visas for her parents, her mom, to come over here to be with her. She was all alone. Mm-hmm. And so that one experience took her deep, but then how she recovered from that is amazing. And there's other stories in there, too, as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, so as far as for in terms of who you'd suggest would especially be encouraged and ministered to by the book, who would that be?
Anyone, I think. Any, you know, there's divorce, there's rape issues, abuse, there's caring for an aging parent, there's the loss of a child. There's several different stories in there that I think are appropriate for any place that you might go in life. And then there's some folks that just don't really dip real deeply. They just kind of slide through. But, mm-hmm. you know, I want to just encourage people. Everybody goes through challenges. Joseph and Mary certainly did. And the stories of the Bible indicate that deeply. And so can I just pray over that as well?
Please do.
Father God, again, we just bring this program to you, Lord. And I know there are folks who are listening who are experiencing or have experienced or will experience deep challenges. So, Lord, just let you encourage them through your word. Let them seek you to discover who you are and who you can be and how they can recover and move back to a positive place so they can be an encouragement to others as well. Lord, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Father, too, thank you, Father, for the fact that your word guides us and teaches us to understand, Lord, that you're the key to everything. You have wisdom, guidance, grace, strength, and help in every circumstance. And Lord, help us to be mindful that we live in a world full of people who, in line with the parable of the Good Samaritan, many people who've been beat up by life and left on the side of the road for dead. Help us, Lord, to have eyes to see those people and to seek to be vessels that you can use to help pick them up and help them to come to find you and find healing that only comes through Jesus. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guests are Jerry and Becky Drace. We'll be right back. With Welcome to Our World. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guests today are Jerry and Becky Drace, and Sister Becky has been sharing about her book entitled The Bright Side of Blue, Finding Hope in the Dark Places of Life. Becky, would you tell our listeners, if they want to get a copy of your book, how they can do that?
They can do that through your favorite bookstore and on Amazon. It went public last week. Or you can contact us through our website at hopeforthehome.org, or you can write us at hopeforthehome@juno.com, and we'll be sure to put a copy in your hands. But my goal, as I told you, is to just offer hope and encouragement. And there's all different kinds of situations where people need hope and encouragement. And I think you mentioned your but your work with
the pregnancy ministry.
Yeah, I think that is so vital.
You know, I would mention this in relation to the topic of your book, too. You know, our ministry is named the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry, and it functions in the Mississippi Delta. And I especially would want to say a word of encouragement to every listener. Of course, there's ministry of many different types, but in a special way, the ministry of pregnancy ministries is kind of unique to Christmas, because obviously it relates to not just one, but two crisis pregnancies that happen in the Christmas story. And the fact is, when you find a mother dealing with her baby and she's in crisis, that's a unique challenge that nobody understands but you moms.
That's right.
The fact that the moms want the best for their children, but so oftentimes feel like, I'm not in position to give that to them. So the need for us to pray for moms during the Christmas season, and I would just challenge every listener, find your local pregnancy clinic, pray for them, just give them an extra gift. Because again, they're reaching out to moms, they're seeking to bless moms, and especially during Christmas times, moms hurt when they can't bless their children like they want to. Mm-hmm. And so during the Christmas season, we invite you to do that. Would you all pray for moms and pregnancy clinics during this season?
Absolutely. Father God, we do lift this particular ministry area to you, and it's such a vital part of our culture, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
There are many, many women, young and older, who deal with perhaps an unexpected pregnancy. And so, Lord, we know that every child is vital. Every child has a purpose and a reason. And so, Lord, I just pray that you might instill in each of us the importance of the value of every life, and blessings on these folks who work in these centers to give hope and a positive options for these young women who might not feel like they have anything. So, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for love and care and compassion and mercy and grace that are offered through these vital organizations, and for the workers that work with these young women and older women. Lord, we thank you. And we thank you that in the scripture we do have these two beautiful stories of perhaps the most unusual pregnancies. And so we thank you for that in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Brother Jerry, would you pray for that same cause as well?
Father, we know that life is so precious. It is a gift from you. And when we read the Christmas story of Mary, a young woman giving birth to you, God in the flesh, it had to be overpowering. But Father, the responsibility of every mother is overpowering. So for every pregnancy center in our nation, for the birth choices in our nation, where young women and maybe middle-aged women go to receive counsel, Father, I pray that they'll sense the value of life. And thank you for Pastor Joseph's ministry in this particular area. To save a life, Father, it could be to save the world. Every life is precious. So blessings on that ministry. And may we never, ever, ever take life for granted. Whether we're a baby or a senior adult, it is a gift to be lived to the fullest until you take us home. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our time is almost up for your schedule anyway, though. But before you go, I want to ask if each of you may, if you have a word of encouragement, insight you'd like to share with our listeners about this fact that, you know, the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. And the Word of God is a gift. It's many, many, many gifts in so many ways. But amongst other things, the Bible is a book of faith. It's a book that teaches us to listen to God and to trust Him. And again, without having had the privilege of having read the book, it sounds like the stories are stories that will encourage a person's faith and their trust in God, even through the challenges and sometimes the storms of life, too, because everybody has, some are bigger than others, but everybody has storms and challenges. What word of encouragement would you want to share with our listeners about why reading a book like this will both help them and as well as being in the Word of God in view of the kind of challenges that everybody deals with?
Well, each chapter I included in there scripture, obviously, to point you back in the right direction, but also there's pointed questions at the end of each chapter that hopefully will be a challenge to help you think more about God's Word and think more about where you are in life. You know, one challenge we had was we had a preemie baby, and he, you know, we were told he would not live. And so as a mother, that was probably the most challenging experience I'd had. But the only thing that sustained me was John 14:27. And that verse of scripture, Jerry was given that verse, my mentor was given that verse at different times. And that scripture says, my peace I give unto you, not the peace of the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. That sustained me. Fear and sustained by the Word. Fear was gone, and the sustained by the Word.
Amen. Brother Jerry?
I have seen in so many places where I've preached throughout the years that people who live in fear are people who do not express their faith. Those two words do not reside together. It's one thing to be anxious, but then again it says be anxious for nothing. Which basically means you take a deep breath and realize God's in control. I've often said to people that we're doing our conferences with, we're either headed to a crisis, we're in one, or we're coming out of one. Everybody who lives long enough is going to face some dark blue issues of life. And to deny it is not only to deny reality, it's to deny that God is our source of strength. Becky refers to Hannah, I refer to Job quite often. Job was a man who asked all the wrong questions, but he came up with all the right answers because he established his faith. And when we as Christians can say, even though you slay me, I'm going to trust you, boy, that pretty well sets it. And when you can say, I know that my Redeemer lives, it means we serve a living Savior. And so for those of you who are listening tonight, some of you may be going through some deep, deep valleys, and you're struggling with some strong issues of life. Brother Joseph is so right. There is no place that can give us solace or peace or hope than the Word of God. It will always last. It'll be here when this whole world is thrown in the ash heap of humanity, but the Word is going to abide. And so one thing I often share with people, if you get into the Word's going to get into you. Amen. And that's your source of strength. Becky's book, The Bright Side of Blue, has gotten into the Word. We've already seen numbers of people who have texted us and even called us and said, this chapter or that chapter was my source of inspiration because it goes back to Scripture. So that, you know, that was the purpose of all this. It's been the purpose of my preaching throughout all these years, is to bring hope to people in a world that's hopeless.
Amen. Amen. One more time, Becky, how can people get the book if they'd like to get a copy?
You can go to your favorite bookstores, and if they don't have it in stock, ask them for it. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to our website, hopeforthehome.org, or you can go and email us at hopeforthehome@juno.com.
Amen. Jerry and Becky Drace, thank you all so much for being with us today.
Thank you for your ministry.
Yeah, let me pray for your ministry before we go. Can I do this?
Yes, please do. Yes.
Father, once again, we thank you for Brother Joseph. We thank you for his ministry, for his life, even though we have just met today, Father. A man who has a passion for you and your word. I pray for his family. I pray for Isaac as he is running the sound. But Father, I pray that in his life as well, he turns to you for guidance and hope and direction. We thank you, Father, that every child of yours is vitally important.
Yes, Lord.
That's why life is precious, from the cradle to the grave. And yet, Father, I thank you that the grave does not have the final word. We serve you, Father, a risen, resurrected Savior. And for that, we praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And once again, to all of our listeners, the title of Becky Drace's book is The Bright Side of Blue, Finding Hope in the Dark Places of Life, and hope that you'll prayerfully consider getting a copy to bless and encourage you in your walk with the Lord as well. Isaac, would you share with our listeners again the website or information about how to get the book, and you wanted to share something as well?
Yeah, we just wanted to go ahead and let you know the website one more time, hopeforthehome.org, and that's where you can find Becky Drace's book, hopeforthehome.org, or you can get it on Amazon or maybe even your bookstores. But I wanted to mention that sounds like one of the things she's getting at sounds to me like Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and it says that God is with him. And he says that in the presence of my enemies, you prepare a table before me. Most of the time, whenever you read Psalm 23, people kind of focus on the positivity of it, of being safe, of being secure. But there's a massive contrast in it of being in a hopeless situation, of being one man surrounded by his enemies, of being trapped in the valley of the shadow of death. And what that was that it was actually a ravine that sometimes people would travel through. But if it rained, it would immediately flood and basically you were just dead. And in that ravine, people knew that you would travel through it. So there'd often be bandits and people ready on the side to rob you. And it was really hard to get out of. So if it started raining, it was almost impossible to get out quickly, but it was one of the best pathways to get from point A to point B. But anyways, it sounds like what this book is trying to get at, The Bright Side of Blue, is how often there isn't a way out of trials. Often there isn't a way out of tribulations. But in the midst of those difficult situations, you can have the peace of the Holy Spirit walk alongside you through it. And so I'm kind of interested in like how the book will go. I think that talking about this kind of thing is really important for the church, of not saying that we can get rid of all the hard situations, but that the Father can walk with you through them.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing that, Isaac. You know, I think in line with what you just shared too, I think it's so important for us to be mindful of this truth that in the truest sense of the word, the whole Bible really is a book of faith, a book about hearing from God and trusting his word. All our life, from Genesis to Revelation, God calls us, you know, he lets us know a number of times, the just shall live by faith. And also the fact is in Hebrews 11, we're told without faith, it's impossible to please him. So our faith is extreme, not just a little bit, but it's extremely important to everything in the Christian life, because no matter what else we do, if we don't trust God, if we don't have faith and trust in him, there's no way to please him. So that's critical. That's critical.
I think one of the things that we're having faith and waiting is, of course, the second coming. When just in the same way that Jesus drove out the people selling in the temple courtyard, he drove out all the people that were taking advantage of this poor people. Like this was turning God's temple into a marketplace and taking advantage of those who could barely afford their own food. And so he drives all of them out, bringing justice and peace to that temple. And in the same way, we're waiting in faith for that. But until that perfect redemption is completed, we live in faith today, knowing that Jesus is present with us, waiting for that new heaven and that new earth.
Amen. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for all those that are part of our listening family. Thank you for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Help us, Lord, as the church, and thank you. Help all of us, Lord, this day to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We know earlier in the broadcast we read from Matthew 1 and chapters 2, specifically reading about the passages that deal with the times in Joseph's life where God gave him guidance. And note, too, that something interesting to note is, as I think we've touched on before, God specifically spoke to Joseph 4 times through dreams. The first 3 dreams that God spoke to Joseph through mentions an angel, you know, God speaking through an angel in the dreams. The last dream, for whatever reason, doesn't mention an angel. But in those 4 instances, God told Joseph what to do, gave him his word, and Joseph chose to obey. Again, one of the many important lessons we can draw from the life of Joseph in the Christmas story is obey the word of God. Each time God gave him his word, gave Joseph his word through the dreams, Joseph clearly and immediately obeyed, and God used that mightily to protect the Messiah and his mother, but to bless the world as well. How important it is that just like Joseph, who apparently wasn't on the scene a very long time in Jesus' life, but was there long enough to protect him and to be a good father, to help teach him a trade, by the grace of God, again, Joseph stands as a good role model for men in our world and culture today in many, many ways. Lord, anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of grace. Empower us as men to be godly men that will listen to you and obey you diligently in our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Come
Hillsong with O Come, Let Us Adore Him. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. I continue to look at some interesting insights in relation to the Christmas stories, the Christmas narratives found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. You know, in looking at the place and the work of angels and dreams in the Christmas narratives, interesting to note this, as we alluded to, Joseph in Matthew chapters 1 and 2, God speaks to him four times. Each time he speaks in a dream. In Joseph's first three dreams, it specifically mentions an angel talking to him in the dream. And the last dream, it doesn't mention an angel, but God gives him guidance, still gives him guidance through that dream. Now, if you were to ask the question, well, why angels in the first three and no mention of an angel in the last one? Well, that's a good question. I do not know the answer to that, but I would say this, that the important thing was Joseph heard the word of God through his dreams and he obeyed. He heard and obeyed. Now, there's a fifth dream mentioned in the Christmas stories. God, through a dream, lets the wise men know not to go back to Herod. So they, too, receive guidance through a dream from the Lord. So of the five dreams mentioned in the Christmas stories, four of them come to Joseph, and one of them come to the wise man. But praise God for the fact that in each instance, the persons involved were obedient. Joseph obeyed God each time he was given direction through the dreams. The wise men obeyed God as well. Now, interesting also, though, that like there are quite a number of mentions of angels giving guidance. Now, again, we've just mentioned Joseph, the first three dreams, an angel, God speaks through an angel in those dreams. But note in the Gospel of Luke, it's powerful to consider that angels are used mightily there. Now, note this. Now, in the Bible, you don't know the names of many angels. You know the name Gabriel, you know the name Michael, and of course Lucifer was a disobedient and fallen angel. But the fact is, most angels, you do not get their names. Now you might think, well, why is that true? Well, that's one of those questions when you get to heaven, you ask the Lord that question, and or you can be introduced individually to angels, I expect, as well. But the fact is, most angels, you don't know their names. But here in the Gospel of Luke, we find that in both Luke chapters 1, in Luke chapter 1, Gabriel is specifically mentioned. Gabriel comes to Zacharias and lets him know that he will be the father of John the Baptist. And Gabriel comes to Mary. And so in both instances, it's specifically the angel Gabriel that has brought them good news. Now, note too, in Luke chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense." So in other words, it doesn't initially mention the angel's name. But note, too, after the angel brings the good news to Zacharias that he and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a son who would be the forerunner of the Messiah. Note, Zacharias' reaction is one of not fully trusting God like he should have. After Gabriel has let him know what is going to happen, that he was going to have a son, after he speaks to Zacharias, Zacharias' reaction is, "I'm an old man now, and my wife is an old woman," and just his attitude is kind of, "Are you sure? Because we're up there, we're kind of past the flower of our age, and are you sure we're going to have a child since we're kind of the age of grand or great grandparents?" Well, note here how the angel responds. And this is verse 19. "And the angel answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings.'" So in other words, up to this point in time, the scripture doesn't mention that it's Gabriel. But it looks like Gabriel's kind of ticked off at Zechariah and kind of upset. And he's letting him know who he is. He's Gabriel, a unique angel with a great responsibility in service to the Lord. So notice again verse 19. Let me read it one more time. "Listen to the words of Gabriel. And the angel answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." So Gabriel very specifically tells Zechariah who he is. "I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God." And so Gabriel is the announcing angel who comes to Zechariah and gives him the good news about John the Baptist would be their child. And Gabriel is also the announcing angel that comes to Mary, picking up at verse 26 of the same chapter, chapter 1. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." So now, be clear about this too. These angels, Gabriel, Michael, and these other obviously faithful angels, they're acting on behalf of God. They don't just say whatever they want to say. They speak in line with the perfect will of God. They act in line with the will of God. They represent God. And so they're serving God in the things they say, the messages they bring, and the things they do as well. And so God does use Gabriel to shut Zechariah up for 9 months until after John the Baptist is born. But here too, in chapter 1, verse 26, it specifically mentions, again, it's Gabriel, an angel that comes and to see Mary and bring her the good news that she will be the mother of the Messiah. And so Gabriel has a little bit of an extended conversation with Mary. Mary has a question or two, but Mary's final response is one of great faith. She says in verse 38, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So Gabriel has stepped and come into the presence of where Zechariah was serving in the temple, and gave him the good news. Gabriel then goes to Mary, gives her the good news, and lets her know, too, that she would be the mother of the Messiah. But then further, in Luke chapter 2, it tells of another encounter in the Christmas narratives with angels. This is Luke 2, picking up at verse 8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" So verses 8 to 15 talk about the fact that an angel comes and first gives the shepherds the message about Christ, that there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, was that Gabriel? Scripture doesn't say. It probably was, but it doesn't say who he was. But then Gabriel, or whoever this announcing angel is joined by an army of other angels, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So many angels come to help share the joy-filled news that the Messiah has been born, and God uses the angels to encourage the shepherds to pack up and go and find the Messiah as well. Thank you, Lord, once again for the glorious story of Christmas. Thank you for how that you did use angels, you used dreams, and other things and other matters and tools to help carry the wonderful message that the Messiah has been born into the world. Father, anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to be bright, shining witnesses for you as well. Set us on fire of your Holy Spirit in such a way that help us too to be bright, shining witnesses who, like the wise men and like the angels and even like the Star of Bethlehem, point people to Jesus. Help us to live in such a way that every day of our lives, our words, our actions, our attitude, the way we carry ourselves, our lives are pointing people to Jesus Christ. Help us to always be mindful, Lord, that Jesus is the greatest thing that has ever touch the greatest gift that has ever been received by the world, and that we should act like we believe that to be true. Help us to be passionate, on fire witnesses for Christ every day of our lives, everywhere we go. Help us to burn with the fire of the Holy Spirit mightily, and let that burning flow through our words, our actions, our attitude, all that we say, all that we do. We thank and praise you for the opportunity to be ambassadors in this world. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer right now and fully commit your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you pray with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to obey you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you gave your life to Christ and prayed that prayer, we're wanting to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be sure and get in touch with us again, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Be blessed.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.